Wing TV with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Friday, March 18th, day 10 of 9/11 on trial. You're watching Wing TV, and I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Today we'll have witness number 6, Martha Higadero, who's going to be talking about the collapse of the World Trade Center towers.
And now let's join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Today's testimony will revolve around the collapse of the World Trade Center towers on September 11, 2001. As we have already proven, temperatures from burning jet fuel did not even remotely burn as intently as the government said they did. We also seem to have another glaring discrepancy on our hands. Even though the North Tower was hit 16 and a half minutes before the South Tower, World Trade Center 2 fell 30 minutes before World Trade Center 1. How can that be? Witness number 6, please state your name for the record.
Martha Higadero.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Higadero. What time was World Trade Center 1, the North Tower, struck by a jetliner?
8:46 a.m.
Thank you. And what time was World Trade Center 2, the South Tower, struck by a jetliner?
16 and a half minutes later at about 9:03 a.m.
Okay, very good. And what time did World Trade Center 2 collapse?
9:58 a.m., 56 minutes after the impact.
Okay, I believe that was 9:59, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and at one time did what time did World Trade Center 1 collapse?
10:28 a.m., 1 hour and 42 minutes after the impact.
Okay, with this foundation in mind, let's examine some of the peculiarities found in the above scenario. First, which of the towers took a more direct hit?
The North Tower took a direct impact from Flight 11.
Okay. And how would you describe the South Tower's impact?
The South Tower was struck by an oblique impact from Flight 175.
Okay, very good. Yet the South Tower stood for only 56 minutes, while the North Tower, which took a more direct hit, stood for 102 minutes. To which building was more damage done?
The structural damage to the South Tower was far less severe. Few of its perimeter columns were damaged and very few of its core columns were compromised.
How about the fires? In which building were they more severe?
The fires in the South Tower were far less severe, as much of United Airlines Flight 175's fuel existed in the building.
Okay. And if smoke is any indicator of a fire's intensity, which building produced more smoke?
While the North Tower continued to emit prodigious smoke, the South Tower was producing only a thin vial of black smoke by the time it's collapsed.
Okay, so the South Tower had less smoke than the North Tower. And once again, what does this type of smoke indicate?
Black smoke indicates a cooling, oxygen-starving fire.
Okay. Continuing on, how much jet fuel did the South Tower absorb in comparison to the North Tower?
The South Tower, it took less than half the fuel load of its North Tower twin.
Where was the South Tower struck in comparison to the North Tower?
The airplane hit about 15 floors lower in the South Tower.
Were the structural columns thicker or thinner the lower one went in the towers?
Since the South Tower was struck at a lower point, the structural columns were thicker at this location.
Okay, thank you. And since the columns were thicker in the South Tower at the point of impact, would more or less heat have to be produced to make them equivalent in weakness to the North Tower?
The South Tower would have had to produce more heat than the fire in the North Tower in order to raise the columns to the same temperature as in the North Tower.
Okay, very good. With all this information in mind, that the South Tower experienced a less forceful hit, that the structural damage was less severe, the fires were smaller, and the columns where it was hit were thicker and stronger, how long did the South Tower stand?
56 minutes.
56 minutes, okay. And how long did the North Tower stand?
102 minutes.
Do we have any explanation for this seeming improbability?
David Ray Griffin, author of The New Pearl Harbor, quotes Peter Mayer's article, The World Trade Center Demolition and the So-Called War on Terrorism, especially a section entitled, Did the Towers... Actually, let me refer to my papers. In both cases, the fires within the buildings died down after a while, giving off only black, soddy smoke. If the Twin Towers were deliberately demolished, and the intention was to blame the collapse on the fires, then the latest time at which the towers could be collapsed would be just as the fires were dying down. Since the fire in the South Tower resulted from the combustion of less fuel than the fire in the North Tower, the fire in the South Tower began to go out earlier than the fire in the North Tower. Those controlling the demolition thus had to collapse the South Tower before collapsed the North Tower.
Okay, thank you. Plus, what are the odds that the North Tower, the South Tower, and World Trade Center 7, all with different circumstances surrounding them, all collapsed to the ground in the exact same manner?
A reasonable mindset finds it simply impossible for three buildings to have done an identical collapse at the same site within hours of each other, with two different architectural styles, two distant fire sources, with all three structures being controlled by the same individual group.
I see. And we must remember that never before in the history of the world had a steel building collapsed due to fire prior to 9/11. Then on that day, how many of them collapsed?
Three, all within 7 hours of each other. And the last one, WTC-7, wasn't even struck by an airliner.
Thank you very much, Ms. Igadaro.
Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions.